Hi everyone, welcome to Inside Out with me, Susan Madaris. We're coming to you from South Bronx, New York, the poorest congressional district in the United States. It also has one of the highest rates of incarcerated youths across the country. Here, children as young as 12 years of age are disciplined by being sent to prison. It's a disturbing trend called the school to prison pipeline. Join me on this edition of Inside Out as we take an inside look at the lives of these youths, the disciplinary measures taken against them, and its lifetime consequences. Do join us. It's called the school-to-prison pipeline, and it's a national trend where children are funneled out of public schools and into the juvenile and criminal justice system.
And we look at the children who are incarcerated. This child, a punishment for holding his food slot. He's being chained to the food slot. 16, 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, pregnant women inside solitary incarceration. These photographs were taken by Professor Richard Ross of Berkeley, California. He has a project called Juvenile Injustice, and what he's showing is like how 12-year-olds are in solitary, how we have youth who are 18 and 16 left inside a cell with no items, how we chain our youth, devices of torture that are used to restrain children, like the Ethan Island School in Wisconsin. This is a school considerably, but it's similar to a maximum security correctional facility. Here we have also in another cell in South Bend, Indiana. This is considered a schoolyard. So it's a cage with a little basketball court, and that's what it is for the kids. And we're talking about housing and torturing children.
Five Mu'allim Ak is now a prison reform activist and director of the Incarcerated Nation campaign. He spent 12 years in prison, and while incarcerated in New York State Prison, he spent five of those 12 years in solitary confinement for nonviolent infractions. His activism has reached schools and universities nationwide. These images fill the walls of his office, reminding him every day of the difficult task before him in his fight for reform.
So if a kid acts out in school, we change suspension to incarceration. So literally, instead of suspending school kids or really creating a system that has restorative justice, when I was young, if you act up, you had to write on a chalkboard, you had to help the teacher out, you had to do some type of remedial task that satisfied the environment in the school. That is no longer exists. Detention is another thing. The Board of Education is non-existent. You don't stay after school to take up classes. You go to jail. You go to prison. So the school to prison pipeline is basically shaping the school similar to a prison. We have armed guards. We have security measures. It's close to like security going through the airport. You have to go to metal detectors. You have to be hand down, mat, wand, hand wands. You have metal detectors. You have cameras. We spent more money putting cameras in schools than we did in prisons in the last 5 years in America. And literally, we have probation officer. We have a police officer. We have a guidance officer. We have another officer inside the school. We have all these components, this system of containment, and children have to navigate. It takes them 20 minutes to navigate through this system of containment to get into the school. And once they get in the school, they can walk right out the back door. Ain't nobody stopping them.
Five's son, Shaquille, recently graduated from high school and knows all too well about the challenges facing youth in public schools.
A lot of problems with the high school systems today is getting inside the high schools at first. Like, you're missing out on educational time just trying to get through security, just trying to get through the metal detectors, getting through armed guards, you know what I mean? Signing in, swiping your ID, you're late for your first period class, you're missing out on your education. And it's really intimidating, you know, it leaves the students with a sort of hostility. As soon as they wake up in the morning, people are tired, you know what I mean? We're coming in 7 o'clock in the morning, and you know what I mean, bright and early out of our beds to go through a hassle. Like, it's basically like airport security to get into your high school, you know what I mean? And it leaves kids messed up in the morning, feeling groggy and, you know, not even half awake.
Today, Shaquille works side by side his father at the Incarcerated Nation campaign. He is the director of youth services, where he aims to educate his peers and give a voice to youth at risk of incarceration. He tells me there is a direct correlation between the public school system and the prison system.
The school systems, it's like there's no room for error. There's a zero tolerance policy, you know what I mean? Like, if a kid is having a bad morning, he didn't eat dinner last night, you know what I mean? He's coming into school angry about, or anything could be on his mind, and he acts out about it, or he acts out in any way, he's automatically punished. He's automatically there's an automatic consequence for his actions. You know what I mean? There's no detention, there's no counseling, there's no, in a lot of schools, in a lot of underprivileged schools, you know, there's not detentions, there's no counselors, there's nobody who gets on you on the one-to-one level to try to see and figure out what's the problem.
Some argue that the increase in security measures is a result of rising fears about violence in schools. One example is the 1999 Columbine High School shooting. However, according to author and Hofstra University professor Alan Singer, the stage was set long before Columbine.
Our modern school system really starts in the 1920s. And the idea at the time was that it would prepare blue-collar immigrants and their children for blue-collar jobs. But by the 1960s, those jobs disappeared, and the rationale for the organization of high school and a factory model no longer made sense. And as those jobs disappeared, the schools have more and more shifted to what I call prison model. So first you have the disappearance of work, and then in the 1970s you have massive budget cuts, partly as a result of the war in Vietnam, and schools are cut back, teachers are laid off, schools become much more overcrowded, and the whole schools have become chaotic. Then you have the 1980s, you have a crack epidemic. Crack epidemic destroys communities, it destroys families, contributes to that sense of general decay in inner city communities. By the 1990s, you have private companies that are investing in prisons. You have the outsourcing of prisons to these private concerns. And these private concerns, they need raw material. They need the kids to make their profit. And that, so you have this whole justification of sending the kids to jail. You have the zero tolerance ideology emerges. And the idea behind zero tolerance is that, you know, you step out of bounds, something wrong with you, you're going to be sent to jail.
According to Michael Denzel Smith, a fellow at the Nation Institute, while crime rates have gone down, incarceration has increased in recent years.
We are addicted to incarceration. We're addicted to the profits that come through incarceration. We're addicted to free labor, cheap labor, that in the way that we produce that now is through the prison system. And so the way when crime nationally, like the number of crimes, actual crimes being committed over the past 30 to 40 years has actually gone down in the United States. Like we're reducing the amount of crime, but the prison population exploded, in part due to the war on drugs, but in part because we criminalized more things. Like we started to criminalize homelessness, we criminalized mental illnesses, and we locked people up, and we locked them up for longer periods of time. So the prison population has exploded over this time, and we are so beholden to it as an economic force and also just a social control.
Through the juvenile courts and the adult criminal justice system, the United States incarcerates more of its youth than any other country in the world. In 2002, approximately 126,000 juveniles were incarcerated in youth detention facilities alone. Approximately 500,000 youth are brought to detention centers in a given year. This data does not reflect juvenile trialed as adults. Around 40% are incarcerated in privatized for-profit facilities. Singer, who has also taught at high schools across New York and was a guest teacher at Rikers Island Jail Complex, says the issue of race plays a leading role.
White people increasingly are fearful of black minority youth, of immigrant youth, and the zero tolerance and sending kids to jail has just become a way of engaging white voters to support right-wing conservative candidates.
Minority youth are disproportionately represented in incarcerated populations relative to their representation in the general public. A recent report from the National Council on Crime and Delinquency found that black and Hispanic youth are treated more severely than white youth at every point of contact with the system, from arrest to detention to incarceration, even when charged with the same crime, a point highlighted in a recent article by Smith.
We are a nation built on racism, and that's the way that the system functions, and you will find that on every level of every institution of American life. But also just the perception then of what that produces, the idea that black youth are more dangerous, more criminal. Until we break that, until we really investigate racism, we investigate the capitalist system under which we operate, we're not going to break our addiction to prison. And when you need bodies in that prison, you're going to either criminalize more behaviors, or you're going to ensure that you have those bodies from a younger and younger age. And that's what the school to prison pipeline does.
According to a recent study by the New York Civil Liberties Union, the neighborhood with the highest percentage of low-income students, the South Bronx here in New York, also has the highest rate of suspensions. When Five and I visited South Bronx, he showed me how close the correlation between the school to prison pipeline really is.
Like most schools in New York, because of overcrowding, they create external trailers for the school. And these trailers are classrooms, it's systemically actually, because of overcrowding, because of lack of funding. And then we have a whole different private school system like charter schools, which is traded on the stock market, and literally it's an IPA. It's literally a public organization that people can buy stock in. So you have people making millions off of the system that varies between public schooling and private schooling. So the private charter schools get funding and get more better education.